Colorado Parks and Wildlife define an aquatic nuisance species, or ANS, as...
An aquatic nuisance species is a non-native species that has been introduced to a new location, has no predators, and has harmful impacts on our natural resources and the human use of those resources.
Robert Walters is the invasive species specialist for CPW, which tests 6 to 12 reservoirs a day, multiple days a week, using between 600 to 700 boat inspectors each year in an attempt to stop the aquatic nuisance species' primary means of transmission, boaters. According to Walters, since 2008, CPW's invasive species department has monitored and worked to ward off many types of ANS, but one species is particularly worrisome.
Certainly the zebra and quagga mussel are the most concerning species to us. Those are the most costly invasive species in the entire United States.
And until recently, Colorado was 100% negative for those species. But in August, Bureau of Reclamation samples discovered quagga mussel larvae in Green Mountain Reservoir near Silverthorn. If the larvae, also called veligers, are able to reproduce, Walter says it's unlikely CPW will ever be able to get rid of them. So aggressive investigation is necessary.
What we don't know at this point is how those veligers actually ended up in the reservoir. Are they coming from a population we haven't yet detected, or did they come in on a boat? So that's what we're out here trying to figure out.
What's the depth, Nathan?
8 feet.
Since then, small teams of CPW researchers like this one have collected over 100 additional samples looking for the quagga mussel.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Walters and I joined a CPW team as they collected samples across Green Mountain Reservoir. CPW's Nathan Anderson leads the sampling team, and he explained the process.
And then what Erin's doing right now is she's going to throw in this net. We'll do this 5 times. She'll pull it up and redrop it 5 times. And what this net is doing is filtering plankton out of the water, and we'll put the remaining plankton into a bottle. And we'll put a label on it and bring it back down to Denver, where we'll look at it under a microscope.
Thus far, all the samples have been negative. But on the way to inspect some rocks on the shore, Robert Walters explained the lingering anxiety about the mussel, considering their devastating effects on hydroelectric power systems like Lake Powell.
So there's all kinds of different gates and things that the water has to pass through in those hydroelectric systems. And when those get clogged up with the mussels, then they basically have to shut down those hydroelectric systems, and they have to bring in specialized divers and things to actually come in and clean those systems out before they can get them up and running again.
And that is incredibly expensive. Between 1993 and 1999, the power industries in the Great Lakes region spent $3.1 billion trying to manage getting the mussels out of their system. And that, says Walters, ultimately impacts all of us.
Yep. And something that the public also, you know, should think about is, do you really think that the power industry just absorbs all those costs? Not a chance. They're passing that down to each and every person that's using that power in their house. So everybody really does pay for this if it ends up being a problem.
In addition to the damage caused to hydroelectric power systems, quagga mussel populations filter vital plankton down to the bottom of bodies of water, completely changing the ecosystem. CU Boulder's director of the Natural History Museum and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology, Pat Koselic, explains.
The fishes that live in these systems, the other invertebrates that live in these systems, they've evolved to be in this kind of plankton-dominated environment. So when it turns to be a benthic-dominated environment, how do those species adapt? Where do fish get their food? You know, that's the important piece here. It's not that the algae change necessarily. It's that the entire system changes, and the organisms that have to respond to those changes might not be able to do that in a fast time frame.
In September, Representative Jared Polis and nearly every member of Colorado's congressional delegation signed a letter written to Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke that Polis says asks for collaboration that he hopes will help the state successfully combat the quagga mussel.
There's areas of our country that have been facing this for well over a decade, and we need to take that knowledge and what's worked and what hasn't worked and focus those resources on Green Mountain Reservoir and on Colorado to prevent further damage to our water ecosystems.
Back at Green Mountain Reservoir, the team has collected all the necessary samples that will be sent back to Denver for testing by the following Monday.
So the hope is on Monday that you hear that there is nothing in these.
Exactly.
We usually don't hear that there's nothing. We only hear if there's something. So
good news. Yep. And a good day in the office is finding nothing.
Overall, CPW's ANS program costs CPW nearly $4.5 million a year, a minuscule investment when compared to the environmental, recreational, and financial damage an ANS infestation can cause. As state lawmakers and agencies launch into the fight against the quagga mussel, it remains true that just one contaminated object that skips the decontamination process can sabotage the entire effort. So it's up to Coloradans of all sorts to keep aquatic nuisance species out of the state. For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Hanalee Myers.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org. Support for this piece is provided by CoBank, a national cooperative bank, helping to provide financing solutions for rural water systems. Learn more at cobank.com.